And most of my clothes are all screwed up in my suitcase now as well, so that's pretty good. We got on this morning probably after 3:30. So that's why kids are here this morning, because they're still asleep. And they're so excited on holiday, you get up at crack of dawn anyway. And she was totally wrecked as well. So, but it's interesting because this morning I got up and I've written a few different stuff from what I was going to say. But I'm actually going to be talking from Proverbs chapter 6. So we are still working our way through Proverbs. So Proverbs chapter 6. And I'm actually now, in a sense, I'm going to be preaching to the choir, as the phrase goes. Because you guys are all here. But what I'm going to talk about probably don't even apply to you guys because you're here. So Proverbs chapter 6. And there's a little bit I'm just going to, in a sense, brush over and encourage you to do some of your own study on. And then I'm going to get into what I want to talk about. This probably does apply to everyone. And this is something we've all got to be very careful of. So Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "My son, if you have put security up for your neighbor, if you have struck hands in a pledge for another, if you have been trapped in by what you have said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go humble yourself, press and plea with your neighbor, allow no sleep to your eyes and no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter, like a bird from the snare of a fowler." Now, it's interesting that this is just an introduction, really, to, I want to get into verse 6 to 11. But just a word of caution is put out here. If anybody ever asks you to be a guarantor, to secure something for somebody, then say no to them. Because that's what it's saying here. Say no. You've got a biblical right to say no. It's not that you've been cruel, and it's not that you've been awful, but the Bible says don't put security up for people. Don't become a guarantor for anybody. Now, I know sometimes you might say, well, my kids, your kids might be a little bit different, but personal experience and what I've seen over the years in different people's lives is that one that sets up security is okay till the other person defaults. And then it becomes their problem. And I've seen friendships, good friendships, broken down because I've seen brothers fall out because one's put security up and the other's not paid the bill. Basically, being a guarantor of security means that you will guarantee the debt of the other person. So if the other person doesn't pay it, you will. And lots of people have fallen out over the years. And the Bible says, Solomon, who had everything going for him, he said, do not do it. I mean, he could have paid off everybody's debts who were that rich. But he said, don't do it. And you think, well, ain't that cruel? Just a quick note, and I might look at this more tonight. Probably one of the most godly people in the Bible is Abraham. God spoke to him almost like, you know, an audible voice. God presented himself to him. God raised him up. Now, Abraham's probably a very godly person. He's in the hall of faith there. And yet God told him to leave his country and to leave the house of his father. But what did he do? He went so far up the river, took his dad and his nephew with him. Then his dad died, and then he took his nephew into the country that he was going. Now, Abraham probably thought he was doing a load of good. He was doing a lot. Lot needed him. And Lot prospered because of Abraham. But then if you look at the end of Lot's life, living in a cave where his daughters got him drunk and incest happened, wouldn't he have been better staying in the land where he was at the beginning than where he ended up? See, sometimes we think we're helping people, and actually we're not helping anybody. See, I will help anybody if I know they want help, need help, and are willing to do something about it themselves. I will not help somebody who's not willing to help themselves. You know, I'm not going to get in a pit with somebody. I'm going to help them out of the pit. So sometimes I look cruel, harsh, but I've seen so many times where people put security up for others and it's cost them a lot of money. So that's just a bit of an introduction to those few verses. Do study them yourself and do unpack that a little bit more. And there's lots of other verses cross-referencing through Proverbs that talk about that. But it's really, really verse 6 to 11 that I want to talk about. And this is an interesting one because you guys are here. So you've not slept in, you've not not doing whatever. And it says this, verse 6, it says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider his ways and be wise. He has no commander or overseeing ruler, yet stores up provisions in summer and gathers in food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. I grew up on an estate, and maybe this is why I learnt those few verses quite early on as a Christian, where the general idea was that it was a council estate, and nobody officially worked, but everybody worked. See, we knew every benefit going. We knew how to get the system. We knew the system. I know the system. That's why it maybe irritates me a little bit when I see people, the system. And I'm not going to go to anybody who's found themselves in a situation where they need help and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. But I grew up in a situation where everybody was on the long-term sick. And everybody had a pretty good excuse for being on long-term sick as well. Yeah, every one of them were doing the gardens, going out walking, doing odd jobs, getting money in here and there. So I grew up, and I always said I never want to get like that. So since I left school, I've done nothing but work. In fact, I have signed on once. I got laid off by my company. He says, there's no more work. You're going to have to go sign on. And when work comes in, you can come back. So I went to the Dole office, first time I'd ever been there. It looked quite, what's going on? I joined a queue and got to the front of the queue, and I said, I've got a job. And he just signed me off and told me to come down here. And it was like, it almost got me a cup of tea. I want like, no, don't join them queues. Come over here to the short queue. And I filled a load of forms in and sat there, and I said, I'll let you know. So that was a Monday. On the Wednesday, the boss phoned me up and said, we've got some work and do you want to come in? So I said, yeah, I'll come in. I'll be there tomorrow. I'll nip down and tell them I've got a job. My job's come back now. I don't need to. So I went back to the Dole office and told them, I don't need the money now because my boss has got work. They said, no, you signed on. I goes, I know, but I don't need it. They said, no, it's processed. You'll get 2 weeks' money. I goes, what for? They said, because you signed on. I goes, but I don't need it. I've got a job. But because they didn't have a tick box that says you don't want it, it would kind of, I was like that anomaly. They couldn't fit me in. So I got a gyro a couple of days later, and I said, I took it back to them. I said, I don't need it. They said, no, it's in your name. You need to cash it. It's a problem. They couldn't cope with it. So I grew up in that sort of environment where lots of people, where often people would step out up late and sleep most of the day. And yet we're living in a generation, or there is a generation coming through where lots of people are stopping up late and then sleeping all day. And yet light means you can get up and dark means you can go to bed, generally. But with electric, it means we can stop up and do whatever we want. But it starts off with this. I wrote some quick notes down. And this is a definition of a sluggard, or it could be a slothful. It depends which version you have. But a definition of this is a sluggard is a lazy individual who refuses to work, whose desires are not met. So somebody who's a sluggard is a lazy person who refuses to work, whose desires are not met. It's key there, the desires are not met, because they all have desires, but they're not met. And you can look this up throughout, and I don't know if you've got a pen. I'm not going to run into all these now, but there's lots of verses throughout Proverbs. Proverbs 10:26 talks about this. Proverbs 13:4 talks about this. 15:19 talks about this. 19:24 talks about it. 22:13 talks about it, and 24:30 talks about it. So Proverbs has got a lot to say about the sluggard. So it's an interesting one. But we'll look at chapter 13 and verse 4. It says this, the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Diligent is the opposite of the sluggard. A sluggard is somebody that won't do anything, doesn't want to work or whatever. Now, this doesn't just apply to those people who are out of work. Because some people work and are still a sluggard. I don't know if you've ever come across them, those who literally turn up dead on time, but go dead on time, and only do the minimum they've got to do. I used to work at a place in Dewsbury, and it was quite fascinating because the boss there actually told me one day, he says, I don't know why you're here. There's more to you than being a warehouse manager. And he says, there's nowhere else for you to go. You've gone as far as you can go. Because it were a family business. And the only other place was to sack one of the family members and give me a job. But he said, you're always here early. You never go dead on time. If a wagon turns up, you'll sort it out. He says, very rarely do you sit through your dinner. And then when pay rises came round one year, he says, there's only two people in the company got a pay rise. You're one of them. And if you speak of it, I'll sack you. That's what he said. So diligency is not, for me, is an expression of your heart. And I think as Christians, we should be above the average. We shouldn't be the norm. You know, people should be saying, have you got a Christian at your church out of work? I need a Christian to come and work with me. And yet I've worked with Christians and I've sacked them. I've got rid of them because it's like, what is this person? As Christians, we shouldn't be in the system of what the world is. We should be above that system. We should be doing the. We should be going the extra mile. We should be doing things differently. Now, that doesn't mean we're slavery to our boss. But at the end of the day, if you want to go further in your company or wherever you are, you need to do more than just the minimum what's expected. In fact, your witness, we'll look at this later on, your witness is part of what you do at work. So I'm not just talking about those people who aren't in work, I'm talking about people who generally are out there. But did I read 13 verse 4? Yeah, I did. And but Solomon, the wisest person that ever lived, God-given wisdom, says to us an interesting phrase. Now, we all can learn from the wise and the great. You know, you can look at these great men and women in business and think, wow, they've done great, but they've all worked hard. But Solomon says this in verse 6, says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. What's an ant? An ant's one of the smallest creatures going, and yet it has no commander sending it out for food. Yet it knows it needs to go out on food. Everything they do as ants, I don't know if you've ever stood there. I love ants. I love, you know, especially the aggressive ones that go in there and attack, and, but that's a different story. But I love them because they're just so wise. There's a queen there popping out the little ants, and they go out to war sometimes, or they go out foraging. And if one dies, it's like, well, we'll take him back and eat him. But you know, they go out there and they sort out things. They're a community, and as a church, we could learn from them. Because no one ant is idle. Everybody's doing. I appreciate, guys, all the work that some of you guys are up to in the back room. I think it's great. But all the ants are there doing their bit. Some are soldier ants, some are worker ants, some are carrying ants. They've all got a different job and a different role. And yet they're so brilliant. And he says, go to the ant, watch the ant. The wisest man says, go look at the ant. And he says, they have no commander or overseer, yet they store up provisions in summer and gather its food in the harvest. That's an important thing. Because opportunity comes to every one of us. But if you don't take that opportunity and miss it by, if you let it go, there may not be another opportunity. And yet he says, in harvest time, we harvest. You know, the ant, it brings the food in. In the Old Testament times, you harvest at harvest time, and if you missed it, you're hungry. Is that right? You see, for many people nowadays, they can just turn up at work when they want, they can do what they want, they can. Joe handles this all the time with different people. You know, but suddenly it's sickness season. They're all on holiday. She's having to deal with employees in different companies who are on sick, but really they're on holiday. And just not taking advantage of the situation. But we need to go to the ant and we need to look at the ant. But then in verse 9 it says, what did I write down? We all need to be wise. And we all need to check out even the simplest things and learn from it. But in verse 9, it says this. It says, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? That's a touchy one, isn't it, for people? You know, don't tell me about sleep. You know, they actually reckon that we only need between 6 and 8 hours sleep. Between 6 and 8. If you have more than 8, it actually becomes unhealthy for you. It does. Some people can survive on 4 hours. Margaret Thatcher, I'm told, could survive on 4 hours. And she run a country. Winston Churchill run a war, and he's only slept for about 3 hours, so he would do pretty well. You know, but the thing about sleep is the more you get, the more you need. It's a cycle. Once you get into this cycle of sleeping in, you're tired. I've just come back off holiday and I've done absolutely no, and I'm tired. I had to get up and go climb an hill, go get up a mountain somewhere because I just thought I'm getting sluggard here. I need to shake it off. People's laying there. Turn me over. Let me do nothing. And he's like, I can't cope with that. As bodies need blood flowing through it, it needs to be doing something. And it is easy to sit and do nothing. It is easy, that's the easy route. But the only person you're robbing is yourself if you sleep too much. That's the only person you're robbing. We need to be aware of the fact that, you know, the sluggard, he says, when will you get up? When will you do something? When will you get up from sleep? Let's look at Proverbs 26 and verse 14. So anybody who's like who's tired now is going. It's worse on an evening. Middle of summer, when you've had a long day and you're in church, eyes open. When I was in Uganda, there was a guy preached for 2 hours and I went through that stage where I was shuffling around the eyes open. I'm like, it's warm and I'm tired. But anyway, so I'm not saying this because I hate anybody. I'm saying this because I've been there. Verse 14 of chapter 26 says, as a dog turns on its hinges, so as a sluggard turns in his bed. Just, you know, that little bit of rollover. 5 more minutes. But I know, 5 more minutes means you feel grotty. 5 more minutes and you feel worse. I think the best thing, and this is what I do, you know, as soon as it's ding, eyes open, get out of bed. Don't lay there. For me especially, if I do sleep in, if I get past 8:30, that's a sleeping to me. I start getting a thick head. I'm just a bit groggy, need so much checking out. So usually, ding, up, go. And that's where we should be. We're designed to be up when it's light. You know, the early church used to meet at 6. I wonder, Phil, I wonder. I just wonder sometimes, the church, would it be full, would it be empty? Sleep actually robs you of your time. Time that you have. And time is probably the most valuable thing that you have as a person. We all get given the same time. Nobody gets any more, nobody gets less. So why is it some people are more productive than others? It's because they use their time wisely. Most people who are very wealthy or very business-minded or very doing well in life, when it comes to musicians and artists and it becomes athletes and stuff like that, most of them are not sleeping in. Most of them, if not all of them, are diligent with their timekeeping. And the only person you're robbing of time is yourself. We all have the same time, but the problem is that once that time's gone, that extra hour you have on a Saturday, once that hour's gone, it's gone. You can never get it back. You can't scrape it back from the. If you lose money, you can always get money back. Friends, you can always get new friends, but time, you can never get it back. And yet it's something we squander so much. How do you spend your time? How do you go about with? I challenged, I think a few weeks ago, I said, list your week. Monday to Sunday or Sunday to Saturday. Sunday morning, time you got up. What you did, just block the times. And at the end of the week, you'll be astonished how much time you've wasted. Most people who achieve anything in life are very time conscious. Anybody that's great in the mission field or great in ministry, men and women of God that you can read about, all of them were diligent with their time. They didn't waste time. It wasn't, I need an extra half an hour of sleep. Hudson Taylor, the missionary, went to China. He was up before the sun got up, on his knees praying, but he was still on his knees praying when the sun was going down. I mean, he did things in the day. Diligently before God, diligently seeking God, doing things. Most people who never achieve anything blame something, but the reality is, it's because we don't spend our time wisely. Now you think, well, I work 40 hours a week. Well, most people do. Let's get over that, and still we can still achieve. There's 168 hours, I think, in a week. 24 hours in a day. Sleep 8 of them, that still gives you 16 hours to play with. Eight at work. Still gives you 8 hours to play with. 8 hours is a long time to sit on a Game Boy or PlayStation or computer. Or it's a time to do something. But you can never get it back. How many of us, and I'm not having to go at you because I'm talking to me, how many of us have said at some point in our life, you know, I just want to do this. And then a year goes by, 2 years go by, 5 years go by. And we're going, and you just think, I just don't have the energy now. But if you started back then, how far would you be on now? I remember when Joe started her course at university, we'd planted a church, we were raising two kids, and she took on a university course, degree course, to do with her work, and I was self-employed as a builder, which means in summer I can work 12, 14 hours a day. I don't even know how we survived. I mean, never mind seeing each other, but we did. And she said it was really hard, but it was. But we did it because we set a stall out to achieve something. She achieved her things, I achieved my things, we got there. But guys, the only person that's stopping you achieving what's in your heart is you. We don't need to wait for a great angel to turn up. Sometimes if you use your time wisely. I often say to people, read your Bible. And yet the Bible's, it's a best-selling book, but it's probably one of the most least read books. But the Bible changes your world. And yet we would rather spend, and I'm probably talking to people who's going to listen to this on CD later on or watch it online, but we would rather spend half an hour watching something on TV that's not edifying to us personally. Don't mean it's wrong, but it's not, than spending 10 minutes in the Word of God, which will build us up. We'd rather spend half an hour listening to gossip instead of 5 minutes praying and speaking in tongues, which builds us up. We would rather do... Why? Because our body... the outside of us loves the sleep and the slumber and the rest and the tiredness and just settling back and watching something and resting. But our spirit inside needs to win that war. Our spirit needs to rise up and say, I'm going to do something. I'm going to rise up. I'm not going to be the sluggard. I'm going to be somebody that gets up and gets going. Any athlete you look at, I don't know how many hours Usain Bolt put in before he even got to the final of his first ever final. What a waste of time. What a waste. What else could he have been doing? Well, he wouldn't have been the world's fastest man, would he? Any great swimmer, musician, anybody. You hear kids, don't you, do it scales. I mean, Danny, he keeps putting videos on, sorry, Danny. Puts videos playing, different stuff. That doesn't come overnight. Unless you're a really gifted person and you need a kicking machine. But besides that, it doesn't come overnight. It's practice. I know there's other people better than I am on the base, but that's because I don't have the time to put into the base. I want to put time into communicating and the Word of God. But what could you put time into? Because we've only got maybe 120 years, some of us. Maybe 105. Or maybe till we get to 60 and we give up altogether. I don't know. But do you want to wait till you're 90 and go, I wish? Or do you want to say, I am going to? Because you might never achieve to climb the mountain, but it's better that you set off than never set off at all. Many people's got dreams and ambitions, and the problem is it's not that they don't get to the top, they just never set off. Just set off. See what happens. Go for it. And yet we all have these great and amazing excuses, and we'll look at some later on. And I don't have a clue where I am now. Time. Let's look at Proverbs 20, verse 13. It's hard not to yawn, isn't it, when you're warm? 13. It says this, do not love sleep or you will grow poor. Stay awake and you will have food to spare. That's quite simplistic, isn't it? Don't love sleep. Now, we need sleep, but I suppose it's like food. We all need food, but some love it more than others. Some people need exercise and some love that more than others. My cousin, she's gone mental with exercises. She's always posting stuff. She's really getting into it. She's going to fitness freak now. But, I mean, she's coming up to 50, and she's getting herself a six-pack at 50 because that's what she wanted. You can achieve anything if you put your mind to it. From Back to the Future, if you ever watch that film. Okay, 10 and 11, back to Proverbs 6, 10 and 11. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the arms to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. When I first became a Christian, that's probably the first two verses I learned other than 2 Corinthians 5:17. And we would say to each other, a little sleep, a little. When you just go knock somebody up, where are you? And we look out our bedroom window going, a little sleep, a little slumber. The day's almost half over, 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, we're doing stuff. I can't, I can't imagine, or I can't understand. When I first got saved, or within a year or 2 years of getting saved, so my week was, I was working full time, and I used to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, we'd stop on after the Sunday night meeting, so that was three meetings then. Monday night, we didn't do anything. Tuesday, we had Bible study. Wednesday, house group. Thursday, we had prayer meeting. Friday, we had youth meeting, which usually went to about 11 o'clock at night. And then Saturday, we youth used to get together and do something, and then back to Sunday. And work full-time, and go evangelize, and go out witness. And we loved it. What happened? Well, I got married, I had kids, and I got a mortgage. But my heart's still there. And I'm not saying we need to be in church all the time, but I do know this. I did a lot less sinning when I was at church all the time than I do when I'm not in church all the time. You're wondering what sin I am. We all sin. That's something else. So, laziness leads to poverty. Proverbs 10. You're all thinking, I wish I'd stayed at home myself. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. That's Proverbs 10:4. Verse 5 says, he who gathers crops in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. So the one who takes opportunity. 1950. Laziness brings deep sleep, and a shiftless man goes hungry. Shiftless man. Somebody who doesn't do anything. Aimless. Goes hungry. 20 verse 4 says, a sluggard does not plow in season. So in harvest time, he looks and finds nothing. I ain't got real time to get into this. But there is a principle in the Bible that says, you know, what you sow, you will reap. But it says this, a sluggard does not plow in season, so does not sow. So harvest time, he looks and finds nothing. Often Christians don't realize this principle of sowing and reaping, or we always attach it to finances, but it means everything in life. What you sow, you will reap. If you sow happiness and joy, you will reap happiness and joy. But one thing I know about sowing and reaping, what you sow isn't what you get back. You often get back a lot more than what you sow. But it also doesn't happen at the same time. Sometimes there's a time delay. What you sow, you need to leave, and in time it comes back to you. I teach my kids this principle of sowing and reaping because, you know, they need to know it now. Our kids know that we are blessed today because of what we sowed yesterday. Might have been a year, 2 years, 10 years ago. And Hope is even saying now she gives money into the offering, and she said, I'm sowing because when I go to university, I'll need God to provide all my needs. So she's sowing so that she will reap in time. I think that's quite interesting. That's what she's doing. And in all things, in life in general, what you sow, you will reap. If you show a lot of goodness and kindness, you will. I've often considered when I was a young Christian, I used to look after my granddad and my grandma, and they were separate, but I used to do shopping and stuff like that. I used to go visit people, older people, go around and see them, chat to them, do a bit of shopping for them. And I often thought years later, when I get there, I'm going to be lucky for those people to come to me. Because I'm thinking I'm going to live to 105, so I might need somebody to do my shopping for me. Well, I'm reading my Bible, of course, because I'll be diligently still there. So laziness is a road that leads to poverty. And the only person you're stealing from is actually yourself. And the Bible's clear that we shouldn't steal at all. Proverbs 26 and verse 16 says this, if a sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly. Somebody who's a sluggard, who's lazy, that sort of person, they always have a reason why. They always have a reason why they can't. There's no reasons why you cannot. The only reason you can't is because you can't. I've seen people have their legs not literally blown off, because I didn't see them at that point, but I've known people who's had legs blown off who's then become marathon runners, even though they never run a marathon when they had legs. I had a friend who had one arm. He had a dead arm. He used to put it in his pocket. And he could dig a trench with one arm faster than most people could with two. I had a mate at school who didn't even know his alphabet at the age of 16, but he's very wealthy because he said, I know how to make money. And he would graft and he would work. Because he says, I'm not that smart, but I know what work is. And he does, he's done all right for himself. So it's all about ourselves and, you know, are we going to set our stalls out? Are we going to go for it? You know, often sluggards cannot be told. They can't be instructed. They can't be told certain things. Verse 13 says, the sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion is roaring in the street. And if you look at Proverbs 23, verse 13, it says, I can't go out there because there's a lion or I'll be murdered in the street. People have reasons why. The sluggard will always put a plausible reason why they can't. And I've heard so many things. I'm not just talking about here, when I were at Huddersfield with the leadership there, we heard everything going. It's almost sad, but I long to hear a genuine excuse that I've not heard before. Now, I'm not saying your reasons are not genuine, but often you hear the same ones come round and round again that are quite hollow. So I tend to learn when a genuine reason and when it's just an excuse. But it's fascinating how things just go around in circles. We all have reasons why we can't. I was doing the Three Peaks in 10 weeks' time. And I've been challenged. I'm going to be the pace setter for them. That's my job. That keeps them all going. Run through the rivers and straight through the bogs. We're off. Now, I've said I'm only going to do two of them because I'm a pace setter. I need to keep them going. But at the end of the day, there's no reason why I can't do three because it's all in my head. If I choose not to do it, I will not do it. But if I choose to do it, chances are I will do it. And yet for us all, it's the same. When we choose, when we say we cannot, you will not. But if you say, I'm going to have a go, then maybe you will. It's all up to us. There's no point waiting for a great move of God. That move of God could start in you. We need to stop looking on the outside and start looking on the inside. Start saying, God, what can you do in my life? If I diligently seek the scriptures, if I'm diligently in prayer, if I put my energy into just seeking God, what could God do in my life? You see, this isn't a criticism because I'm not on that side of stuff, but what would this church be like is if us as a leadership, Phil and Ian and Ruth, if we spent our time at the same rate of what some other people in the church do. If we thought we'd pick up the Bible once a week, maybe. I'm not saying anybody's doing that who's here, because you're not the sluggards, you're here. But if we just took it easy, what would happen on a Sunday morning if we slept in? Or just turned up at 25 past 10? You see, what most people don't see is on a morning, Ruth and Jean's often running around with the vax, backing up, clearing stuff away, because us men, we make a lot of dust. In fact, Ruth spotted me and Ian coming through, wipe your feet. We did, didn't we? But we do, see, what would it be like? But it's your job. Yeah, it might be my job, but it's not Phil's job or Ian's job. What could it be like if we're all there? But what would it be like if we went the opposite end where we were just, didn't bother? I know churches where ministers only literally work on a Sunday and take the rest of the week off. They call it studying, but really watching the cricket or doing something. What could it be like? What could we be like? So, I'm down to the end. Last page. And you're thinking, wow. Hard work is an antidote. I like that. An antidote. Look at the ant. Antidote. No, okay. Okay. Look, I've come back off holiday. I were up at 3:30 this morning. Come on, guys. I've got to pick up my dog this afternoon, and then I've got to come and speak tonight, so come on, right? Hard work is the antidote for poverty. The only reason that, you know, anybody gets anything in this world, very few people inherit anything these days. I told my mum, spend it. Just spend it. Go on, have an holiday. Get on with it. I'll earn my own stuff. You can spend your own money. And I said the same to my dad's different because he ain't got anything. He'll leave me debts, so that's all right. So we're fine with that. But poverty can be chased away by hard work. Proverbs, 28:19. It says this, only because I'm nearly there. It says, he who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will be filled with poverty. 14:23. These are great verses if you ever want to set up a business. Stop dreaming about it and just go for it. 14:23. It says this, all hard work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Chapter 12 and verse 11 says, but he who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. So those are different ones. So there's just a lot through Proverbs. There's two more verses I want to bring before you. Ecclesiastes, that's a book most people never get into. That's an interesting one. 9 and verse 10. It says this, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Do it with all your might. Now, that doesn't mean when you're cutting hair that you do it with all your might, off it goes. But do it with all your energy. Do it. Whatever we do, let's do it with all our might. Let's do it as first importance. Let's be there on time and do what we say we're going to do. But it says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. In the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning or knowledge or wisdom. We're all going to die at some point, unless we get raptured. That's to say there'll be no work in heaven. But we forget that God created this earth, and then he put Adam to work. He didn't put Adam in the dole queue. He didn't put him and say, in fact, he did say, have a day off. First day, have a day off. Then you're working tomorrow. And work wasn't laboursome in those days, but sin entered the world. There's a phrase that I used to use it a lot more when I was younger, and I use it every now and then. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Because when I'm dead, I can't work. When you're dead, you can't work. You can't do anything, you can't achieve anything. You see, there's only a couple of things we'll do down here that we're not going to do when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we can worship God. We worship God here, worship God there. When we get there, we'll be in the presence of God. We're in the presence of God here, we're in the presence of God there. We won't take communion in heaven because we won't need to remember what he's done because we're seeing him face to face. So communion we won't do anymore. Two things you can't do when we die. You can't witness and you can't kick the devil's butt. I better put that in some more Greek, can't I? You can't overcome the devil. Can you? Because when we're in heaven, we can't overcome him because we've overcome him. And we can't witness because everybody in heaven's saved. So what can we do? We can use this time down here to be diligent. We can sleep when we're dead. That don't mean we don't not sleep. Use your time wisely. And I'm not perfect at this. So sometimes I just want to crash. I want to just crawl in. I want to sit on the sofa. And I want my wife to come and give me a cup of tea, feed me grapes, massage my feet while I watch the telly. The telly might happen, the rest of it won't. But I want to just cruise out, chill, relax. And I'll be honest with you. Joe found me ironing it the other day, because I can. I'm actually quite good at it. This shirt's a bit crumpled because it were in my case. I didn't wear it. But because there were a programme I wanted to watch, but ironing power there. So I just ironed while watching a programme, a documentary on something, and I'm busy doing it away. She loves it when I do it. I think it's great. I don't mind ironing. You've got to do it. But I'm just watching. I'm being productive. Now, they say that men can't multitask. I'm one that can. I can sit on the toilet and read at the same time. You know what I mean? Read me Bible. No, I just think something. If you can do, why go twice when you can do it right the first time, in a sense? Why? Me and Phil's got this thing where I say, you measure twice and cut once. Phil says, you measure once, then cut it twice if you have to. You know what I mean? No, it's not. It's great. It's just a joke, I hope. But we can sleep when we don't. Now, let me just take to a verse in the New Testament. And it's not Chronicles. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, that's where we are. 3:23, if I remember right. It's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. 3:23. Philippians, sorry. I can tell I'm asleep. A little sleep, a little slumber. 23, we're down here. Whatever you do, work with all your heart as working for the Lord. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Because everything we do is a witness. Everything you do is a witness. People watch you. Now, it might not be, you know, blazes of fire coming down from heaven. But when you look at anybody's life in the Bible, at the most, we see, I mean, Jesus, 33 years, he was on this planet thereabouts. And we only really know 3 years of his life, 10%. Abraham, we only probably know a little bit about. He's like David, we only, look, everything else was just mundane. Day by day, getting up, going to work, coming home. So I'm not accusing anybody of being a sluggard, but I am saying be wise with your time. Set some goals and go for it. Guys, if you've still got breath, you can still learn, you can still teach. Now, you might not be able to run the Three Peaks or jog the Three Peaks or walk the Three Peaks with me in 10 weeks' time, but you could say, I'm going to do something. It could be whatever you want to do, but do it with all your heart. Go for it. Stop blaming the past for where you are now. And in a sense, it's true. What you sowed is what you're reaping. So choose today to say, I'm going to sow something completely different. I'm going to start today sowing. And maybe next week, next month, next year, I'll start an harvest in something that's different. I'm going to change my direction. I'm going to make the last parts of my life better. There's a great verse, I think, in Job. And it says, that is, you know, I'm going to, it's not in Job, but in Job's life, the latter part of his life was better than the former part of his life. And God said, I'm going to replace what the locusts have stolen. Some of us are still mourning what's been stolen from us from the devil. Instead of going, you know, the devil came to steal, kill and destroy, or the thief did. But Jesus said, I've come to have life, give you life and give it to the full. We need to stop mourning what's been stolen and start going, well, okay, I've still got life. I've still got energy. I still can do something. And even if you ain't got the energy, you can still do something. Get on social media, write letters, do something, be proactive. Yeah, but you've all got an excuse, guys. We've all got them. We can all blame our spouses. Well, I can't. But we can all blame our kids. Well, I can't blame them. We can all blame whoever. But what you can say is, really, it's up to me if I read that book. It's up to me whether I study. It's up to me whether I exercise. It's up to me whether I cut my portion. It's up to me, whatever that might be. It's up to me. Just because Joe shoves a cake in my face, doesn't mean I have to eat it, even though I have to. But it's up to me. And like, do you know Ruth? Sure, a couple of weeks ago with the baby, I probably challenged everybody about our witness and witnessing and our time and stuff like that. And I said through the sermon, probably the only person that's got an excuse not to be a witness, not because of time restrictions, is Ruth. Because she's got a baby who demands feeding whenever it demands feeding. Afterwards, she said to me, I have not got an excuse. And I think if she's not got an excuse, what the heck have we got? Nothing. Nothing. So, you non-sluggard people, you bright and early, gets up and go. Prayer meeting at 6 in the morning. I must admit, I'm not an early person, but I bounce out of it. But what I'm trying to do is, I'm not having a go at anyone. But use your time wisely. I've been away on holiday. To be honest with you, Jo's not here. She'll never listen to this, hopefully. But I can't stand doing nothing on holiday. I chunk through the Bible. I write things down. I get bored. I want to be doing something. I want to be meeting people. I want to be talking. I just want to do what God's called me to do. And when I'm on holiday, relaxing, it don't do me any good. I get more uptight. When I went to Uganda and I preached 15 times in 8 days, now that was living. That was just air on fire. We're off. You know, can't cope. We'll just go for it. That's good. But we need a rest. We'll rest when we're dead. And I don't want to get to heaven and look back at my life going, I wish I'd done more. I want to do as much as in my life as I can before I get to the dead bit. Because when I get there, I can't do any more. It's our choice. Neighbours, Jeremy Kyle, what else is on an afternoon? I don't know. But it's either that or let's do something productive. Now, you might say, I'm not a witness. But what would reading, I challenge this at the beginning of the year, what would reading a proverb a week, a proverb a day, one chapter of Proverbs, I mean, it just opens up so many, I mean, if you want to be wise, read one chapter, that's not much. You can read it in about 2 minutes. What is 2 minutes in a day? What is it? It's the time it takes on kettle to boil before you have your next cup of tea. They are. Chuck a Bible in your toilet. Not in the toilet, at the side. Have one on your bedside cabinet. If you're married, it can ruin things, but, you know, it can be there. Just put Bibles around, read it, get into it. Worship. Do you listen to the Five Live, or do you listen to someone that's going to build you up? Do you listen to news for information, or just to get the gossip? What? I'm just trying to pray over to make you think, guys. So, be joyful, sow good seed, and reap an abundant harvest. In the time of season, sow. Now, this afternoon, I'm probably sleeping, so if you have any complaints, take it up with my next. No. I just appreciate you guys, I do. I think you're all amazing. And sometimes I will provoke. I hope I don't upset. Well, nobody ever tells me I've upset them. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But I want... They used to challenge me. My upbringing challenged me. I said, I'm never going to be like these people. I've been a window cleaner. I'd even work at McDonald's if that came up, if I needed to. I've done agency work, I've done also, because I would never be like that. And it's just an attitude with my kids that I'm building into my kids, I'm training them up now, so that they'll never be lazy, never be just, and I'm not having a go, I'm just saying where I'm from. But I know I've come a long way, and I am so blessed in my personal life because of just God's pouring blessings. Work, when I used to be self-employed building, God just blessed me so much. And he's blessed me with a great church and great people. And I just want to encourage you guys, when I see you succeed, it's joy to me. I am sowing seeds into your life, and I just want to see you grow because it brings joy to me. And when I get to heaven, God might say, come here, I need to have a talk to you about this. But then I can look at you guys going, hey, we made it, and see how you've grown. And if I only say what you need to hear, as if I tickle you, you'll never grow. Sometimes, some of us need, I need sometimes a kick up my bum. Sometimes I need that. That's why I'm married. That's why. No, I've got friends around me who do it. They challenge me. And sometimes I said the other week, didn't I? At one side, you've got Johnny Egg, the evangelist, a roaring lion, fire and passion, just wanting to get out. And then you've got Pastor. And there's a battle often between them. And sometimes I want to kick this over. Sometimes I want to throw it. And sometimes I just want to, I look like you, I just want to sit down and listen to somebody else. So we all go through it. But I think when Moses went up that hill to be in the presence of God and spent 40 days up there, he wasn't going, you know, I need some sleep, Lord. I don't think God's got a clock. Sorry, I've gone on awfully. I don't think God's got a watch. Why do they always come at 2 o'clock in the morning to talk to us? Can't you come late? Because it's his time. It's brilliant. And if you're available, he'll just turn up whenever, because he's amazing. He is. He's good. Let me pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for all these amazing people. And I pray right now that we'll all, including me, Lord, be wise with our time. Lord, we'll be diligent at what we do. Lord, I pray, Lord, we could, Lord, just see the benefits of just being diligent in everything. Lord, I pray that you will inspire us to go after our dreams, that you will, Lord, inspire us to get up and to go for the desires you've put in our hearts. Lord, not just for our benefit, for your glory, but also for the witness in this town. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll inspire us to keep on going when we're tired. Lord, to run after you at all costs, to put you first and to seek your kingdom before everything else, to raise up a standard to stand with it. Lord, I just thank you for that. Amen.